Yeah, who needs what?
From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Unfictional is a program of true stories, personal documentaries, radio movies, magical transformations.
Here's a fresh deck. Can you open it up for me?
And one night, not too long ago, a small group of people gathered in a Los Angeles apartment.
So, shuffle the deck as much as you want.
To watch a magic show.
I'm writing down a prediction.
Okay.
The magician's name is Tara Walker.
I have 10.
I have 8.
Okay, do you want to read my prediction?
Yes. Tara will win by 2.
She's still honing her craft.
Do you want to do it again?
No.
She's been learning magic and mentalism for the last several years.
And then just visualize the symbol that you saw from him.
Okay.
Turn it over.
Wow.
Is that the card that you have?
Yes.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
She likes to make impossible things happen just by changing the way you look at them.
Life is all about perception. You can take any ordinary day out of your life and really choose to see it in a positive or a negative.
In fact, a big reason Tara began to learn magic in the first place was so that the memory of her most frightening night would disappear. On this episode of Unfictional, Strange Sounds in the Night, Doors That Unlock by Themselves, Tara was new to L.A. in a Los Feliz apartment, and her first thought was, as anybody's would be, it's a ghost. But before long, the truth was revealed. It was actually something much, much worse, and something that could only be defeated with magic. From KCRW, it's Unfictional and Haunted.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
From KCRW, I'm Bob Carlson. And this is Unfictional.
Magic can take like ordinary objects, ordinary moments, and make them seem amazing.
This is a story about Tara Walker, who's a magician and a mentalist.
Okay, so picture the city. Have you been to the city?
I have.
Okay. Okay, imagine like the name of the city. Like Paris.
Paris.
And be advised, by the way, that there are a handful of disturbing but not explicit descriptions of a traumatic event. It's an episode produced by Unfictional Associate Producer Carla Green and Tara Walker. From KCRW, it's Unfictional and Haunted.
I guess let's start with the magic stuff.
I've always been interested in magic and the supernatural. I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I was with my parents. We were walking through a old plantation house, and as soon as we entered, I screamed because I remember very vividly someone yelling at me, telling me to leave. I just stood in fear in the back corner. My parents said there was nobody around me, no one was talking to me. So that made my parents believe in ghosts, and that's when I started to also believe in ghosts. I went to film school in Orange County, and I was extremely excited to move to Los Angeles. I found a 2-bedroom apartment in Los Feliz, and I moved in the summer of 2011. As soon as I moved in, I noticed a lot of little things missing, things moved around. I would go to sleep with my sliding glass door locked, and when I would wake up in the morning, it would be unlocked. So I went to my landlord to show him the door and be like, I'm not sure how it's getting unlocked in the middle of the night. He had no idea. So then when he left, I just was like, okay, this is probably another ghost that I'm seeing. There's a ton of metaphysical stores all over Los Angeles where you can get crystals and sage. And I went and I got huge bundles of sage. And I looked up online the incantation to say when you're burning it.
Cleanse the space of negative energy.
And I slowly walked from room to room burning it.
If there are energies here not of the light, you are not welcome.
Asking the ghost to please leave us alone.
Be gone and do not return. Surround this space and everyone in it with positive energy and white light.
One night, one of my friends, she slept on the pullout couch. And the next morning, she came to me and was like, what were you doing standing over me last night? And I was like, I stayed in my bed the whole night. What are you talking about? So she was convinced that it was a female ghost.
Hi, I'm Sabrina Nuadir, N like Nancy.
My roommate Sabrina and I, we'd known each other for years, and she had just moved back to LA, so she moved in with me when I moved to Los Feliz.
So it happened sometime in the summer, and I came home. It was about 11 p.m., midnight-ish, and I went to bed and got woken up thinking the door opened and shut. And I thought, okay, Tara's coming back home, and immediately went back to bed. The next morning, I was making breakfast, and you walked through the door, the front door, and you had spent the night somewhere else that night, and we tried to kind of make sense of what had happened and what that noise was, and we rationalized it by saying, oh, it's probably the neighbors. We never had assumed that someone else could have walked in and out of that door.
So it was a Tuesday night, and I just come back from work. I was working on a reality show at the time. I'd worked just a full 12-hour day, and I came back to my apartment. Me and my roommate Sabrina, we just sat down to watch some reality television and just kind of fall asleep. Sabrina ended up going to bed, and about an hour later, I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up later because I sort of felt something, and I opened my eyes and I saw a hand coming out from under my underwear. I realized that there was a person there. I sort of just like sat up and I saw this guy just crouching behind the coffee table. He was sort of trying to hide from me, crouched and covering his face. I sat there for a few seconds and just watched him and realized like he wasn't moving. I kind of looked at the front door and the front door was still bolted shut. So I just was sort of trying to figure out what the situation was because I'd just woken up. A few seconds later, I screamed, and then he slowly stood up and then walked into my bedroom and walked out through the sliding glass door into the backyard and ran away. I walked towards my room, and he'd actually locked my door behind him, so I couldn't get in my room. I started banging on the door, and Sabrina grabbed me, and we both ran out, and we ran into a neighbor's apartment. And we called 911, and within a few minutes, there was helicopters, and the police came. They broke down my door, but he'd already run out the back and run through the garden and had escaped through the back. He definitely knew the layout of the house. He knew how to escape through the back, and he just ran out of there as fast as he could. So the police came, and they asked me if he touched me, and I said that he touched me on my leg because telling a male immediately after what he'd done to me, there was something about that made me not comfortable sharing. So I just said that he touched my leg, and I just wanted to leave.
And then it was later that you told the cops what had actually happened.
Yeah, the next day I met Detective Menifee, and we sat down and I told them that he'd actually been rubbing me.
There was a woman who I believe was with the sex crimes division and another who was there to take fingerprints. Very surreal.
I am Detective Danetta Menifee. I work for Los Angeles Police Department, and I work specialized unit called the Robbery Homicide Division Special Assault Section.
It's been 5 years, but now I finally sat down again with Detective Menifee.
The division that was handling Northeast Division, they noticed a trend that was happening, and it was mainly just burglaries that were occurring initially. But they noticed that the women that were being burglarized, the women looked the same. They're blonde, blue-eyed, small in stature.
I'm about 5'3", and I have blonde hair and blue eyes. I look just like a lot of the other girls.
And come to find out, it was a total of, that we know of, a total of 14 that had occurred. And not all of those were sexual assault in nature, but they were more like a peeping Tom type thing. So we started to pull all of those reports together to see if they were coming up with the same type of suspect, the same time that it was occurring in the same area. And we noticed that it was all in the Los Feliz corridor that it was happening. That's when we thought, okay, this is going to escalate.
Police are asking for your help today in finding a serial burglar who targets single women who are living alone, but then he also sexually assaults them.
They called him the Los Feliz sexual predator.
She's live in Los Feliz now, where police say several of those attacks happened.
Okay, so just while we're here, can you...
I actually went back to my apartment building.
Show me whatever we can access.
Do you want to see the gate first, or...
Yeah, sure. Whatever you think makes more sense.
Here. And we walked around. And I was just shocked to see that nothing had changed. They hadn't added any locks. They hadn't changed the door. I could still walk in and get into my apartment the same way the guy had years earlier.
So there's a gate here and a backyard, another gate, another backyard, a gate, and then my backyard. This guy went through 3 gates in order to get to my backyard and 2 different backyards.
just have a random question for you. My name is Tara. I used to live here.
And I ran into my neighbor, Michael, who I hadn't seen since I moved out.
Oh, my God. Now I remember you.
Almost exactly a week before I was broken into, I had heard my neighbor screaming at the maintenance guy about how she had been broken into and that nothing was happening and none of the locks were getting changed. And I walked out of my apartment to sort of see what was going on. And I ran into our maintenance guy and he said, oh, she's just crazy. She's just making things up. I had never met the woman and she was just screaming at him in the middle of the night. So I kind of took his word for it. It wasn't until after I was broken into and she heard me yelling at the maintenance guy who was still refusing to change my locks after the break-in. She came to my apartment and she described the exact same guy. After the break-in, Sabrina didn't want to go back to the apartment at all.
I couldn't be in that place anymore. I just tried to avoid it as best I could.
I only went back during the day to pack everything up. I didn't want to spend the night there again.
My name is Julia Munoz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Julia wasn't my actual therapist.
I do have experience treating those that have had traumatic events. Some of the symptoms and behaviors that we might see are anxiety.
I've hidden pepper spray everywhere around me.
Constantly checking their surroundings.
I would check all the closets. I would check under the beds.
Difficulty sleeping.
I have like sleep routines that I have to do that just made me feel safe.
Check every single room to make sure that no one was in there.
Our reaction to a trauma is to try to prevent that trauma from happening again, even though we probably had no control over it in the first place.
I would constantly wake up and check to make sure the lock hadn't been disturbed, make sure no one had gotten in and relocked.
Flashbacks in which they feel like the traumatic event is actually happening all over again.
I remember one night specifically, I just sat on my couch and just stared at the door. I had an overwhelming feeling that it was going to happen again, and I was just staring at the door waiting. After it happened, of course, I had to tell my coworker since I took a few days off work.
Weirdly enough, I was kind of embarrassed by it. I just felt like I said kind of like sullied or dirty or that people would pity me or something.
I went around and told a few friends immediately, and a lot of their reactions were, was I drunk that night? What was I wearing? I told them I was just wearing a t-shirt to sleep in and my underwear. I was even asked what color my underwear were. He asked me what color they were. I told him, and then he was like, well, that's why.
People like friends or family can victim blame a bit.
Well, why did you choose to live there? Why didn't you not have a gun? Or why did you whatever the hell?
One guy that I told said, it sounds like he just has a crush on you.
From the girls, you would get looks of like fear and also thank God it isn't me.
I understand that women wanted to see what I did wrong because they didn't want it to happen to them. The fact that I was in my locked apartment and everything that I had done was right, that's more upsetting because that can happen to them. While this whole thing was happening, every time I talked to the cops and detectives, they kept asking me whether or not we'd left our doors open or we had our windows open. So I kind of felt like they were sort of trying to find out what we did wrong that caused this guy to break into our apartment.
It's embarrassing, you know, for LAPD. I can't say that everybody on the job is perfect in that way. We're trying to change that mentality to think that you are the victim and now you're being victimized twice. I'm not going to lie to you. Most officers' eyes, they see it as, well, if you didn't do this, then this wouldn't happen. If you were not partying and drinking, then this wouldn't happen to you. If someone's going to enter into the house and you've done everything you can, lock your doors to make yourself safe, some things you can't control. Unfortunately, that's the days that we live in.
I found out from Detective Menifee that someone actually had been arrested.
We made the arrest because this guy was peeping into the home of someone. And it fit the similars to what we already had. He was peeping into a home and he admitted to doing that, but that's all we had.
He claims that he never touched anyone, that he was just a peeping Tom.
He admits to some of them, but he denied saying that he touched anyone. He said he just liked to look, basically.
When that happened, when he was brought in, I was never asked to identify him. I was never notified. So he might have been the guy that broke into my apartment, but he also might have not.
And I can't give you all the descriptors of it, but in one of the cases, we had DNA and really good DNA. I hate to say we just got lucky on that one because we had people watching around the clock. This is just one of many peeping Toms in Los Feliz area. I hate to say that, but it's one of many. And it's just that he got caught. So is our guy still out there? He is for sure.
After about a month of being in my new apartment, it just all hit me, and I really just freaked out. I had just moved to LA, and the first home that I had, and it felt like my home, it was just taken away from me in this horrific way. And I realized that I could not be safe. No amount of locks could protect you. I wasn't sleeping in my apartment. I would go and take naps in my car because I felt safe sleeping in my car during the day at work than sleeping in my house. And of course, that just couldn't continue. I was too tired all the time. Around Christmas time, 2 years later, I stumbled upon Darren Brown on YouTube. He's a mentalist who likes to do these crazy mental shows.
So what I do is a mixture of genuine psychological technique as well as all the chicanery and showmanship of the magician.
But it wasn't. A lot of them are aired on BBC. He's able to hypnotize people.
Suit. Apple.
I became really obsessed with watching all of his shows, and after I watched all of it, I wanted to learn more, so I bought one of his books. And then there was a chapter on fears and phobias. And in that chapter, he talks about how anyone can get over a phobia that they know what caused it. So if you remember the incident that caused your phobia, all you have to do is imagine the incident, but instead of playing it full screen in your head like you normally would, you shrink it down and play it on like a small fuzzy TV and just play silly music over it. So of course I wanted to try this. I closed my eyes and I replayed the scene of the guy pulling his hand out of my underwear and waking up and seeing him crouching down behind the coffee table. I shrunk it down onto a fuzzy screen and then I played silly music over it. And then it sort of occurred to me how silly the whole thing was, that this grown man was hiding from me behind a coffee table where I could completely see him. I'm not sure if he thought that I maybe would go back to sleep or I wouldn't see him. The dark humor of the situation really occurred to me then. That night I went to sleep and I slept through the whole night. And then I never had another panic attack. A few years after the incident, I ended up going to Vegas to go to a mentalism school. And then I learned enough magic that I got to audition and became a member of the Magic Castle.
And I didn't want you to think that I like did anything funny. So I actually took this one from a separate deck. They're all blank now.
A lot of people just see magic as entertainment. And what I really like about magic is you can just sort of change your perspective of how the world works around you and things that seem impossible can be possible.
So are you familiar with ESP cards?
Before the break-in, I had these ideas of what was possible and impossible. I thought that I was doing everything right, and I was in my completely locked apartment, and someone still broke in multiple times, which was supposed to be impossible. The one place where I was supposed to feel safe, I no longer felt safe in at all. The thing about magic is that it works on the same logic. These things that shouldn't be possible are made possible. But instead of it being this horrible, traumatizing event, it becomes this beautiful thing. Because instead of impossible things happening to me, I'm making them happen for other people.
Oh, last card. Oh. Yeah.
Haunted was produced by Tara Walker and Carla Green. It was edited by Nick White and me, Bob Carlson. It was mixed by Ray Guarna and myself. This music featured in the story is called Unknown Destination by a Norwegian composer, Kada, from his album called Closing Statements. You can find a link to the song and photos from the story and the full archives of this program at kcrw.org/unfictional. Subscribe to Unfictional on Apple Podcasts. Look for us on Twitter. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. The editor is Nick White. The associate producer is Carla Green. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.